Good morning, Ford Alliance and our extended digital fam. We are together once again in this means, in this form, and I'm looking forward to our time together. I'm excited to continue in Ephesians chapter 4 as we consider just our lives being for Christ. And this passage is one that's been so important for me in my journey. And I'm just looking forward to seeing how God uses it to just to help us just grow into the men and the women of faith that he wants and that he longs for us. Now, speaking of being for Christ, there's probably no more practical day-to-day part where I'm pushed in a good way, where I'm challenged, where I'm encouraged to be like Christ and live for Christ and in marriage. Yep. See my brother here nodding. Others thinking, oh boy, where is he going? You know, I was actually talking with one of the folks that are here right now at the end of the service, and there's a passage coming up in a few weeks in Ephesians chapter 5 on marriage. I can't wait to get there because it is so practical on what it means to be one who lives for Christ. But I'm also excited to get there because in my generation, at least, growing up in church in the 80s and 90s, I feel like it's probably one of the most misunderstood passages. I feel like it's probably one of the, dare I say, worst translated passages in our English scriptures, and so I'm super excited to get there. But I thought I'd talk a little bit about marriage to get us going and focused on being for Christ, because I want to share some rewords, and I thought in the midst of my rewords, that'll all make sense in just a moment, I would give you a tip or a pointer for your relationship or your marriage. Now, perhaps not every marriage has a spouse like this, but in mine, my wife loves the home renovation. There's kind of a reword, R-E, renovation shows, where things are, you know, refinished, if you will. And I have learned this is really important. At the end of these types of show, there is a reveal, right? You know what I'm talking about? We're tracking here. Hopefully you're nodding. The reveal. The reveal is a sacred moment, okay? I heard an amen even. Oh, we're going Pentecostal this morning. Yes. I can't wait. Woo. The reveal is sacred. Now listen, when you're out and you come home and you find your spouse watching the renovation show in the midst of the reveal, you do not change the channel ever. So a bit about my wife. I didn't even ask her for permission for this because we have this like blanket permission clause. Unless it really crosses the line, then I have to ask permission. But if you're into like the Enneagram personality profile, I know not everyone is, but if you are, she's a 9. And what a 9 is she's a peacemaker. She's naturally a very peaceable person. She has this knack or this way about her where people feel loved and comfortable around her. They feel a sense of just security and safety, that there's no judgment, that there's no stones to be thrown. She just has that persona. It's just the way God has wired her. But if you change the channel during the reveal, it's like the Tasmanian devil from the Looney Tunes comes out. It does not matter if you come home late from an elders meeting, because this has happened, and the Oilers are on TV and they are going into overtime. It's only going to be a couple minutes, babe. No! You don't. They could be going into shootout. That means there's like 30 seconds left if you're a hockey fan. There's 30 seconds. Don't do it. You don't change the channel when the reveal is happening. It's an interest. It's a hobby. It's a passion. Now, speaking of home renovation, she has another reword that kind of gets her going, if you will, and it's the refinishing of our main floor flooring in our house. She would love to see this happen. She loves home decor, and she sees our house. Now, when we moved here, We found the perfect house in the perfect location for the perfect price. Like, it was just like a godsend. The only thing on our list that we weren't looking for was just pristine hardwood floors. Now, some people think, well, hardwood floors, why would you want hardwood floors? Because she's married to a fisher, all right? So she lives with a 250-pound man. She's got two little boys who play like they're 250-pound men, and she's got a 100-pound dog, all right? Hardwood floors are not made for the fishers. And the floors that were once immaculate, I mean just pristine in our home, it looks like you're now in the jungle. Just the fishers, that's who we are. And so it's a weekly thing. She's like, oh, my floors, these need to be refinished. And I, being the practical one, like, we ain't not refinishing these floors until the day in which the dog is dead and gone and the boys have moved out, because it is not worth it. Because if you refinish those floors this year, you're going to have to refinish them next year, and then the year after that, and the year after that. And from my perspective, that just does not seem like a productive or profitable way to go about this. Now, if there was a way to, here's another reword, the reword that matters for this morning, to renew the floors. Like, where, like, every year they could just be like, poof, renewed. Now, that would be something that would interest me. A continual renewal of the floors, I would be open to that, but the refinishing makes absolutely no sense from my perspective. Anyways, marriage advice, we'll get to a sermon on marriage eventually, but the sacred reveal, leave it alone. If you learn nothing else, I've just given you a lifesaver in perhaps your marriage right there. But I wanted to get to the renew, because the word renew implies this like continual process, this continual being made new. And this is exactly what we desperately need in our own lives, in our own minds, in our own attitudes, in the process of being a people of faith who are for Christ, who embrace our kingdom vocation. And so the text we're going to get to today fully leads us into that, and I want to take some time to focus on renewal work. So here we go. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. All right, I'm going to read it for you. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus, you have learned the truth that comes from Him. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Now, here we go. These are the key verses for today. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. I want to go through this kind of from the beginning to the end and just unpack it, break it down for us. So much in this text actually just personally lands for me and personally just speaks to me and my journey. First thing that's really important to notice is in the translation that I read from, there's actually a word that has been left out of this particular English translation. Some of your translations will include it. It's the word now or the word therefore. So verse 17 would actually starts like this in its original oldest Greek manuscripts. Now with the Lord's authority, or therefore with the Lord's authority. And this is really important because this word now and this word therefore actually links us to the an earlier part of this text. And it directly links us to, for two really important reasons, 4 verse 1. The first reason it links us up to 4 verse 1 is because there is in 4 verse 1, as we've already established in this series, a very clear break in chapter 4. We went from 1 to 3 where we are in Christ to now 4 to 6 where we are for Christ. So now that we've established, therefore, since we've established there's this clear break, we go back to this opening thought that Paul is a prisoner for serving the Lord, and he begs them, you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. And we talked about this God calling being our kingdom vocation. Now, there's a second reason why I'm convinced that this word now, or this word therefore, links us back to this section. And it's because this word that we see in 17, live, no longer, is the exact same word in our oldest Greek original translations as the word life in 4 verse 1. So it's translated differently in English, but this is the same word. There's this re-emphasizing of this thought that our life, it's to be one that's lived in such a way that's worthy of our calling, for you have been called by God. I mean, you could read this like this and it would totally flow, wouldn't it? Lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God, into 17. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, which I'll unpack in a second. You can see how naturally that would flow. There's this linking to them. Now, what's really, really cool, for me at least, I don't know, not everybody maybe is into this geeky stuff, but for me, this is so cool. This word, live, in 17 and 1, is the word peripateo. Now, here is why this is so cool. This word peripateo, in its original language, para means about, pateo means walk. The word means to walk about. Y'all know how important it is for me to grow in my capacity to walk with God, and this isn't just some random thought or passion of mine. This is an incredibly biblical concept that God would long for us to recognize and know that we have been created to walk with Him. Some translations do a word 4 verse 1 in such a way where they say, now walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Or in verse 17, walk no longer as the Gentiles, or another word for that would be pagans, which I'll get to in just a second, do. There's this reality throughout Scripture where we have been designed to walk with God. God wants to walk with us, and it is right here in the thick of Ephesians where we see we are for Christ, and being for Christ involves a walk with Him. So what does this not mean? Well, live or walk no longer as the Gentiles do. This word Gentiles in some translations translated pagan. I think probably the best way to just to describe it for a quick reference point for us today is it's describing those who do not walk the Jesus way. All right, so this is how we can understand this phrase here. It's describing those who do not walk or who do not live out the Jesus way. For they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their mind and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame, and they live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Now let's start with this. This is so important. If you've been watching online for weeks, or if you're tuning in right now for the first time, I've said this again and again, and it is so, so important for you. We were created to walk with God, and it was not that God left and walked and away from or abandoned us. It was that we walked away from Him. I mean, this text words it as well as it possibly could. They wander far from God. There you see it. We've wandered far from God. We did that when we followed those lustful pleasures, those evil desires, this hardened heart, this darkened way of thinking that we see here. But God did not want to leave us in this place where we were separated from him, where we were off on our own path in our own way. He wanted to ensure that this relationship could be restored. And where in both a moment, God would look at us and see us as forgiven and cleaned. But then in a lifetime, we would learn to be growing in that capacity, renewed in that ability, as we'll see in just a moment. And so if this is landing with you at all today, we just want you to know, we hope you hear us, that God loves you and he wants to walk with you, so much so that God came to earth. He walked this earth. Jesus was God in flesh, and he gave his life as a sacrifice for our sin. So those evil thoughts, those wicked desires, this wandering away from God could be dealt with. We could be forgiven and come back to him. And this happens in that moment, like I already said, where you say, Jesus, I am sorry. Jesus, will you forgive me? Now, Jesus, here, my life is yours. And you can begin that journey, that walk, even today, right now, from wherever you're watching this, by just praying like that. Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, my life is yours. Now, like I said, this is something that happens in a moment much like we just described, but it's also ongoing. And Paul here is making it really clear, isn't he, that we're to no longer walk or live like the Gentiles or the pagans or those who don't follow the Jesus way. And he's wanting to make this clear distinction, if you will, of what it means to be a people who are, as we've already said, that are for Christ. And he identifies that there's these, you know, those who don't know the Jesus way, who don't walk with him. I mean, their minds are full of darkness. They wander from the life God gives. They have closed their minds. Their hearts are hardened. There's no sense of shame. There's a living for lustful pleasure. There's a eager practice of every kind of impurity. And if you're anything like me, perhaps you read that and you say, whew, not fully there yet. Not fully there. And maybe you read that passage and say, hey, I can see some progress. And me too, don't get me wrong, I can see some progress. But the passage goes on, and we're going to get to this more next week, but it also talks about getting rid of later on, this is the end of chapter 4, all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior, like, oh, man, I really am still a work in progress. Really am still a work in progress. But there's this heart or this desire, if you will, that Paul wants us to see and recognize that this is not the markers or the way or the walk that Jesus is to call us to. Now, please don't get my next little story wrong. Jesus, Peter, then the Apostle Paul. Those for me are the three most significant voices in my life. Both historically and in today, they matter to me deeply. That said, sometimes you need those people in your life that like speak as though they're like, you know, an ambassador or a representative of Jesus, right? And so if you follow me at all on Facebook, you'll have learned that I have discovered my grandma's notes on Ephesians, her handwritten notes from like 30 years ago. And so like every time I'm prepping these, I'm reading my grandma's handwritten notes as a means to kind of be that, you know, person today, if you will, that's kind of speak to me. And I get my grandma probably better than I get the Apostle Paul because like I lived with her. You know, I grew up there so much so that my grandma was literally living on the same family acreage that I used to live on as well. And it was just a very, very personal relationship. So I understand it now. Some things about my grandma, I wish you guys could have met her while she was still alive. I mean, because you would know exactly what I mean by this. But like my friends, and not only my friends, but my friends' folks growing up, often told me, kind of nervous around your grandma. She reminds me of the queen. I cannot tell you how many times I heard that statement again and again and again, because she had this strong, dignified, and elegant presence about her. I mean, when you think about, like, the queen, yeah, you do get that sense of, you know, my grandma is a strong, dignified, elegant English woman, right? But at the same time, because I grew up where I grew up, my grandma was also incredibly hardworking, and I cannot remember a day where she was not outside working in the yard or the garden, getting messy and dirty. So she had this, like, elegant and dignified persona, but, like, she was, you know, a get-down-and-dirty, strong kind of woman, right? But because she was my grandma, I also knew that she was immensely relational. And I got a picture to show you, a picture of my grandma that I'm going to bring up on the screen for us here and online. But my grandma was so relational that she took me by herself when I was in grade 7 to the Toronto area. So this is my grandma and I in the Toronto area. I have my new Blue Jays outfit on because I was at a Blue Jay game because she wanted to relate to me. We're at Niagara Falls here because I wanted to visit Niagara Falls. I had never seen something like that. But you could see, even to going to Niagara Falls, she's dressed up, you know, like, we're just holidaying, Grandma. You don't have to get so dressed up, but that's just who she was, right? One thing I remember from that particular trip that I so wish I could do with her today as an adult, which obviously isn't possible. She's in heaven with Jesus now. But what the one thing she wanted to do was she wanted to go to the theater and watch Les Miserables performed live as a musical. And I remember being bored out of my tree. And I look back now and I'm thinking, how cool would it be to, like, see that with my dignified, elegant grandma all dressed up? But you don't really appreciate that when you're 13, if you will. Anyways, again, no disrespect to Paul and him writing, because I have immense, immense respect. But when my grandma writes this in her notes, it's kind of like the 2x4 a guy needs, you know, the elegant, dignified, hardworking, but immensely relational, strong woman of faith, as she writes. See, Paul is calling, or in this instance, I think my grandma's calling for a clean break from all our former paganism. Grandma's calling for a clean break from all our former paganism. And this is exactly the heart that God has for us as we endeavor to walk this Jesus way. A breaking from the place where our minds were previously darkened and hearts were hardened, where there's no sense of shame, where we live for lustful pleasures and every kind of impurity. That's the heart God has and longs for us. Inclusive of, as you go through the text later, the ridding ourselves of things like bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words. But the struggle for me is that the Spirit is willing, but the stinking flesh is weak. And I find myself all too often just stumbling in my efforts to walk with Jesus the way I really do want to. Take Wednesday. I can laugh about this now, and I can laugh about this in light of our opening conversation as well. I've talked to you guys a few times about how I'm in many ways like a really old diesel truck. And getting going in the morning can be challenging, you know, especially if I haven't been plugged in and it's real cold out or what have you. And it just takes me a while. But once I get going, like, I'm pretty reliable and pretty steady. But, I mean, it's just the getting going, right? Wednesday was bad. Like, it's like 6 in the morning, right? Janelle's in the washroom. I roll out, sitting at the side of my bed, and I say this. Ugh. Then I get up. Go to the tap and turn it on and grab my toothbrush on it. Janelle, my peaceable Janelle. You okay, honey? You need me to get anything? This is like a quote of our conversation, okay? Like, I'm not making any of this up. This actually happened, okay? She says, well, what's hurting? To which I say, stop talking to me. I'm just like this grouchy old man, right? Like, getting out of bed at 6 in the morning. Oh, my poor wife. Don't worry, everybody. It's okay. Before we both went to work that morning, I gave her a kiss. I said, I'm sorry for being grouchy. And we both had great days, okay? But, like, just the flesh is weak. Like, it's just weak, right? I remember driving my kids to school that morning, and every morning I recenter as I drive, and I pray and I pour my heart out to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and part of my prayers, I just ask the Spirit to give me what I need for today, which I'm going to end with in just a moment here. But that day, this Wednesday, with my boys sitting there listening, I pray like this. I say, Papa, I don't want to do anything today. I'm frustrated. Every ounce of my body feels frustrated. I really don't want to do anything. But I'm willing to give the little that I have. So Spirit, please give me what I need to go about the day. Bringing us to those key verses, 23 and 24. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature. This is not an exhaustive list. This is not a definitive final list. This is just my journey and things I've picked up, and this is going to shift and change. I'll probably reword it in days and months and years to come. But I really feel like four things have been essential for me in taking steps to release that fleshly, natural, sinful way and embrace more of that Spirit is willing. The first one is confession. And we just talked about confession at the very beginning. Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. And confession to Jesus, first and foremost, because he is obviously the only one that has the capacity to clean and to wash us and to make us new through the blood he shed on the cross. But I've also learned that confession out loud to other people, especially those you've wronged, is super, super important. Confession out loud has become very important. That's why I had to go to the door, give Janelle a kiss, and say, like, I'm sorry for my ridiculous ways, right? The second, and you've heard me speak on this many times, so I'm not going to dwell on it, is learning to hear the voice of Jesus, because Jesus is the good shepherd who is speaking. But there's a third and a fourth one, the third which we're going to touch on this week, and a fourth which we're going to fully get into next week. The third is inviting the Spirit to renew, even to refill. And we're going to get to the refilling of the Spirit in a couple more weeks, because that comes up in Ephesians as well. But inviting the Spirit to renew. Because I cannot overcome this weak, feeble flesh with more of my own weak, feeble flesh. I have to have Spirit power. I need the Spirit renewing and the Spirit transforming my mind, my attitude, my thoughts. So it's become a daily part of my walk where I just once again surrender and say, okay, if I'm going to walk with you, Jesus, I need the Spirit to renew. This is what this is talking about. The fourth, which I'm not going to spend any time on because I'm going to get to it next week, is I've had to also learn that I have to release the territory that I've given to the devil in my life. I'll deal with that next week, and I'll explain that more fully then. But for the sake of today, if I'm going to be at all the man that really God wants, but not only God wants, that I want, Because my spirit is willing. I have to be one who lets the Spirit renew my thoughts and attitudes. And this verse 23 is really the challenge I have for each of us here and for you at home. Will you today, will you this week, just this week, for 1 week, just try, strive to start your day by inviting the Spirit to renew your thoughts and attitudes. It's so critical to being the man and the women that God has asked us to be and to walking in a way worthy of our calling. Walking in a way in which we embrace that kingdom vocation. Walking in a way in which we live out what it means to be for Christ. Having the Spirit renew our thoughts and our attitudes. It's a continual reworking. It's a continual process, but He is good and He is faithful and He wants to do this in us. And so this morning, I simply want to wrap up by leading us in a time of prayer. We're right here, right now. We invite Jesus to speak from wherever you're watching this. Maybe it's on your couch at home this morning, or maybe you're even still laying in bed, or perhaps you're on the road tuning in and listening, whatever it might be. Just join with me in prayer as we look to just take the focus off of our weak and feeble flesh, but put it onto the Spirit and giving Him the chance to renew our thoughts and attitudes that we might walk for Christ. So let's pray. Holy Papa, oh, how good it is to know that through Jesus we can come right to You. Thank You for Your continual grace and Your patience and Your kindness that has been so just generous to me and to each one of us. Jesus, You are our Lord, our Savior, our King. You are our Good Shepherd who is also speaking. You are our friend who wants to speak with us. And so in our hearts and our minds and our souls, right now we just open ourselves up to You. Jesus, we love You and we know that You have given Your life for us. And so if there is something that You need to bring to the forefront, something that's been a part of our old way or our old nature, lustful thought or desire or evil practice or hardening of our heart, Jesus, we welcome You right now to just, in Your gentle, good, kind way, bring that to the front of our mind. And Jesus, these things, today we say we're sorry. And will You forgive us? And we turn from them. We know that You have paid for that, forgiven us for that. And we're so sorry that You had to give Your life for ours because of that. And we leave that now, knowing that You have taken it and are carrying it off. And so, Spirit, we come. We confess we need a renewing work in our minds, our thoughts, our attitudes. And so would You renew us today? And in the renewing of us today, we invite You to remind us and convict us of tomorrow, the day after, and the day after. May you give us exactly what we need for today to be men and women who walk with you, Lord God, and who embrace our for Christ calling, our kingdom vocation. We love you, Lord. We confess we need you. Renew us now. In your name we pray. Amen.